And so let's pray. Lord, I ask that you be with us tonight, that you open the scriptures up to us, that whatever I see, I make it clear enough for those of us who are here that we would be able to see what it means, not only historically or spiritually, but for ourselves as well. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have noticed I'm taking a long time on the first chapter of Joshua. The reason is there is so much going on in terms of it. The first nine verses is really about the leadership in Joshua and God's little talk with him about being strong and courageous and all that that meant. And we have covered that. Last week we started on chapter 1, verses 10 to 18. And we looked at the structure in terms of this. I talked about churches. Some are Abraham churches and some are Moses churches. And some of the churches have specialized ministries that they get involved in. And they have to act more like an army than a flock, because a flock of sheep just kind of wandered around in a enclosed place or in a certain area. But an army has to function with authority and submission and all those kinds of things going on. And we talked a little bit about that as well. Tonight I'm going to kind of pick up on the provisions part, the direction part, in terms of these people. Now, you need to understand something. These people are going through an enormous, enormous change in their life. With Moses dying and them getting ready to have new leadership in terms of Joshua, who's been around a long time, but they're just changing. They have to change the way they think. They have to change the direction that they're going in. They're going to move from just relying on God in terms of wandering around, in terms of the manna and all that, to being partners with God in terms of that. And so if you got to keep this in mind and get them out of the stained glass setting. I'm going to read verses 10 to 18, and just so that we have it on the CD. This is after Joshua was talked to by God. And those are the things that are happening in the private life. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, "Pass through the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan, to go in to take possession of the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God is providing you a place of rest, and will give you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you beyond the Jordan. But all the men of valor among you shall pass over armed before your brethren and shall help them, until the Lord gives rest to your brethren as well as to you. And they also take possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and shall possess it, the land which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you beyond the Jordan toward the sunrise." Now, these 2.5 tribes have already got their piece of land before they cross over the Jordan. And Joshua is telling them, you guys are going to have to help out. One of the things that happens in churches and in the context of the Christian community, and that means people like us, is sometimes churches grow stale. And the reason they grow stale is they become ingrown. That is, well, we've got our church, but we don't have to open up to anybody new coming in at all. We don't have to do anything to get more people in here. We don't have to do those things because, well, we've got it made. I have my pew, and nobody else gets to sit there. Now, they do this. We do this. One of the things that I've always been concerned about is, what about that next generation? What about those people out there who don't know who Jesus is? If we are not proactive and continually in the battle to advance and establish the kingdom of heaven here on earth, then we will allow those people to die in their sins, to live in darkness. Now, we can't save everybody, but we can do our part in terms of that. And every church has that responsibility as God's people, whether they're like the 2.5 tribes who have already got their piece of ground. We may have our place in heaven, you might say, but what about so-and-so out there who might be just your neighbor and haven't got a clue? And you know that that person is living in darkness. What can we do to take the land? And the battle is over people. Always has been. And a church that becomes ingrown and only cares about itself is going to be one of those that Joshua would say, I'm sorry, folks. I need your good fighters out here. And so that's one of the questions that comes up. And this particular scripture is very important for the church, because the older a church gets, or the more settled a church gets, the more they need to have their core shaken, you might say, to understand it says, you know, we're not done here until some preacher says a good word over you. So he talks to those 2.5 tribes. That we talked about that last week. Verse 16, and they answered Joshua, and all that you have commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we obeyed Moses in all things, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your commandment and disobeys your words, whatever you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. And I think the last words from the people are an affirmation to Joshua, because the relationship between authority and those who are serving is always very important. The relationship between myself and you people in this church is always important, because they affirm what Joshua had heard from God. And I really think that a lot of times we need to have an affirmation from people around us that we are actually moving in the right direction, you might say, with our lives according to God's Spirit. And so those people said to Joshua, you be strong and courageous. We're going to back you in this. And it's almost like, oh my God, that's what God said to me. And these people are affirming that. And it's kind of like, I am called by God to serve him in ministry, and I'm called by the people in this church to serve in ministry. And that kind of an echo is very important, because you can be out there and just doing your own thing otherwise. Anyway, they do this kind of thing, and they tell him, we're going to back you all the way. Okay? Now, we talked about most of that last week. I want to talk to you tonight initially about provisions for the army, and you got this up on the screen. I call it guns and butter. That's the old saying that we used to have in terms of when you take care of an army. They have to have provisions for the army. And if you read the verse 10 and 11, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, pass through the camp, command the people, prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan to go in to take possession of the land which the Lord your God gives you to possess. Now, they're on an army thinking, army footing now. They're no longer wandering around out in that wilderness. There's a change in the thinking here. It's gone to an army kind of thinking. And an army is out there to do battle and to conquest and to take ground. And what we fight in as God's people is to advance and establish the kingdom of God wherever we are called to be in that battle in this world. And that's why this is important. The other thing is, in terms of your individual lives or family lives, there's a part of you that you're supposed to advance and establish the kingdom of God in your own life, and maybe your family, maybe in your business, wherever you are. So the army thinking is there. A couple of things about army thinking. You're into conquest and dominion. I want to call this whole thing days of dominion, because dominion is wherever you put your foot, God gives it to you. Now, you have to take territory, otherwise you're not winning. Now, the territory that we take is people. I want you also to remember that God is ordaining this conquest before it ever begins to happen. Prepare your provisions, for you're going over in 3 days to take possession of the land which the Lord your God, and you have to look at the tense in verse 11. What the Lord your God gives you. That's present tense. They haven't done it yet, but it is already given to them. The Lord ordains the conquest before it ever begins to happen. Now, in terms of your life, if God talks to you, I mean, if you're in relationship with Jesus and God talks to you and he gives you some kind of promise or some kind of a direction in terms of your life, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Well, Jack, here's what I think. You're going to do this and this and this in ministry because I've already given it to you, but you still have to go out there and do it. Oh, well, there's some kind of a gap between me going out there and doing it and what God has promised. The same goes for you, folks. If God is working in your life, you know, he's going to send you out there. You might be in harm's way in some form or fashion. You can also get wounded or killed. So you got to think about this. If God promises it to you, and you know it's his voice, and you get some kinds of affirmation from the world around you a little bit, you still have to do it. You have to do the battle, even though it's promise. You see, God has ordained their conquest. Now, it's in the book. We've read the book, but they haven't read the book. They haven't lived their life yet. Kind of like we haven't lived our life yet. It might be in our book too, but we are just like them in terms of those kinds of things. Now, the gift is already there, but the taking of the gift must be done. You know, when Joshua and Caleb came in there and they had the spies, he says, if the Lord delights in us, which we believe he does, if the Lord is leading me in terms of my life, if the Lord delights in me, it may be a war, but I can do it. That's what they were thinking. If he delights in us, we can't lose. Now, the taking must be done. Now, there's a balance in here. In terms of your life, we don't live in stained glass. And if you are God's person in this world and you're trying to live that way and do all the things that he calls you to do and you're in that relation, there is a balance between your strength and God's strength. This balance has to be observed. The thing about the people of Israel, at this time, they had moved out of wilderness where God took care of them, and they were beginning to partner with God in terms of their life. And when they did that, they had to rely on their strength. They had to develop their own personal strength, but they also were going to rely on God's strength. Now, God had told them, hey, I've already given you the land, but you still have to go take it. And they have to prepare themselves in terms of that. And in verse 10 and 11, he says, okay, prepare yourself, for within 3 days we're going across there. So you must reach forth. Now, in a battle, and buddy, I don't know about you, but my life's been a battle. in a lot of different ways over the years. You know, sometimes it's financial, sometimes it's relational, sometimes it's physical, sometimes it's mental, but the struggles are all there. We've got them. I mean, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And you can sing that same song yourself. So when it comes to your life, you have to understand who you are first in God's sight. And are you in relationship? First off, you got to reach for it. Now, you got to do the work. You got to reach for it. We talked about getting up and moving. You got to do that. That's the first thing. Then you got to understand this is not going to be easy all the time. God's just not handing things to me on a platter, whether we're talking about a new job or whether we're talking about a new relationship or a new time in your life. It doesn't matter. There's a struggle involved. That means there's battle. And you might just be like me. I seem to get through one battle and here comes another one. The third thing is, you have to walk in faith. That means that you're not sure. You don't have the sight always in front of you. Says, well, I can see it. You have to walk in faith in terms of your life. And we have all kinds of changes that take place in the context of our lives all the time. And sometimes it's very profound. And real change means something dies. So that you got to have the faith to do it, to walk in it. That's when you're not sure. And the fourth thing that has to go with this is you got to learn new ways. And I tell you what, we don't like to learn new ways. We don't like to change our thinking. Because we have a rightness inside of us that says, you know. I realize they're giving all these opinions to me, but I know. Of course, we never say that. But that's the way we think. And you have to be available to learn new ways of thinking. You might say, well, you know, it was easy for these people. I mean, really, it was easy. They had manna every day, except Sunday. They had the glory cloud out in front of them, leading them, so they knew where God was. They had the leadership of Moses out there. I mean, they had it good. They knew how God works in this world. They had the leadership. I mean, they had all that they need. Now, that's true. But they hadn't read the rest of the story like we got it. And you got to get them out of the stained glass window, and you got to think of them like you and me. They are no different from us. When the people of Israel were getting to go, ready to go across that Jordan River, they had to change all kinds of things in terms of the way they looked at the world. And they didn't have the Bible at all. They had the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But I'll bet you 2 bits, there was only one copy of it. And you couldn't check it out of the library. And the printing press had not been invented. And you couldn't go on a screen and look at it and ponder it and study it. They had the Word of God, but they were like you. You know, it's kind of like me. Well, I've given you some of the Word of God. You've got it in front of you, but do you know it? I doubt it. They're like you. They got those things in front, but they have not read the rest of the story. And I haven't read the rest of my story. They didn't have Scripture. They didn't know the end result. They only had God's Word for it. And by the way, God's Word was coming straight from Joshua. mean, it wasn't the burning bush talking to them. It was a guy up in front of them telling them what to do and how to be. All they had was Joshua's word on this. The only other thing they had were the signs and wonders that came with them before they got out of the wilderness. They've had the wonders of the past, you might say, but, you know, Moses is gone now. The cloud has disappeared too, and the manna stops. And buddy, there's a whole way of thinking, and they are no different than we are. Therefore, these four things, you got to reach for it, you got to struggle with it, you got to have faith, you got to have a new way of thinking, but you know what it brings up to the front of you when you're doing something new? God. Change is taking place in your life, whether it's forced on you or you have to go reach for it. Anybody here deal with fear? Anybody here ever feel insecure in terms of what you're thinking? You know, we'll put on a good front. Guys will, hey, we've got to be manly. But you know what? We deal with these things. Every last one of us deals with fear and insecurity at times. And the third thing that we have to fight is confusion. Now, these people are dealing with all of these things, and I'm sure that Joshua has some reservations as well as what's going on. So this is no different than your life or my life when change was taking place. Now, when you deal with new things in your life, and whether we're talking about us as a church in maybe some project or something, like when we moved over here 5 years ago, or whether you're talking about your life as a family and where are we going to be, and we're going to try this new thing and we're out there and doing that, or you're an individual and you go in and maybe you're getting a new job or a new place where you're applying yourself. Or maybe it's a new parent. Suddenly you are dad or mom. Two things. You have to decide this in your heart and mind. Does this come from God? That's the first one. You have to figure out. I feel like I'm off on the edge of a board here, and is it from God or not? You have to decide. And then the second thing is you have to decide whether the voice you're hearing is from God too. That could be a leader. You know, that could be like me as pastor of a church talking about leadership and moving a church ahead in terms of things. You have to decide whether or not the guy that's standing in front of you has got his things together or whether he's just talking out of his ear. They had to make the same call about Joshua. Even though they'd seen this guy fighting and doing all kinds of things for 40 years, he was not Moses. And they didn't know, you know, well, are we going to follow this guy or not? Now, these people that he talked to about the 2.5 tribes, they'd said, we're going with you. We accept your leadership, only you be strong and courageous. And I think that's not only an affirmation to Joshua, it's also them saying, you know, if things go haywire here, we don't want to see you running around on the deck of the ship going, aah! We want you to be right on the money. So those two things, is it from God? And what's the voice telling you? And where's that voice coming from? That's where they are. You see, sometimes that voice is in you. It's not you and a group of people, it's you. Therefore, you have to do that. It's a new way of thinking in terms of when you're moving out from a very comfortable place or where you've been very normal for a long time. The thing I know is that we all do it. We have changes in our life all the time. Provisions, guns and butter. That's a weapon and your food, okay? And it says in verse 10, pass through the camp and command the people, prepare your provisions. Prepare your provisions. In those three words, you are talking about your weapons and your food in terms of them. Now, that's a physical picture, but I want to give you the spiritual truth about this stuff. First thing is food. You are what you eat. Scary, isn't it? You are what you eat. Whatever your diet is, you are what you eat. Physically speaking, whatever you put into your body is going to be worked around and becomes you in some form or fashion. And in terms of the physical nature of things, the spiritual nature of things is the food that God gives us is the Word of God. Jesus talked about it when he was in the wilderness with Satan. He says, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Father. He said it, and we have that. Feed on the Word. Now, I want you to, this is a battle kind of setting, and there's a lot of times we're in warfare. You will conquer because of who you are and not just by your weapon. You will conquer because of who you are and not just by your weapon. There's a part of this that comes from what you become personally. The greatest thing God will ever do through you is what He works in you first, and the Word of God has to be in you. And one of the things is you will conquer because of who you are and not just by your weapon. In the first 9 verses, Joshua is told by God, you be strong and courageous and you hang on to the Word. You make it become part of you, Joshua. Now, my question is, do you know it? Now, do you understand the pictures? Do you see the parables? Have you pondered these kinds of things? Do you look at the parables that Jesus told? What's going on? How does that apply to you? How does that apply to life? Have you looked at the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and looked at some of the real close sayings about people like you and me and how we live this life? The principles of living that are there, have you ingested it and made it part of your constant diet? Now, I can teach you and I can give you understanding into some of these things, and that's good. But you know, you also got to spend some time yourself feeding yourself. It's your diet. It's in the Word of God. You have to feed on the Word. You know, in verse 8, this book of the law, it's God talking to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. In other words, you need to ingest it, Joshua. Make it yours. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Prosper, that's prosperity. And success. Two things that come from feeding on the Word of God. It's a promise to Joshua. It is a promise to you. And if you don't eat, you don't get it. You are what you eat. What's your diet? Good success. Prosperity. That has to do with victory. That has to do with abundance in terms of this life. That has to do with blessing. The reason that I teach, I know this. You need to be fed. Sometimes it's good to have somebody stand up in front of you and kind of give you some kind of grasp on things a little bit, because that's very important. I mean, I've done it over the years with several ministers out there that I know of. I've listened to them, and I've pondered what they say in terms of the word and everything, and it just kind of wraps around inside of me and begins to become me. Well, I know I have to do some of that for you as the God's people, because that's my job as God's agent. Give you understanding into some of this stuff. But you have to do some of it yourself as well, so that you begin to pick up on it in terms of that. So you can have good success, you can have prosperity in terms of life. That has to do with victory and abundance thinking. Okay? Food. The other part of it is it's the weapons. These people had to prepare themselves in terms of, first off, the food, the rations and stuff that they need when they're going to go to battle. But they also had to get their weapons together and get that kind of thing. One of the things that I like to try and do with you, and because I learned it by heart myself, is you got to get a handle on the sword. If you don't get a handle on the sword, you just got the blade. And so you got to put a handle on the weapon. Foods and weapons, it's the same. It's provisions. And what's the purpose? To advance and establish the kingdom of heaven on earth. For these people, it was to advance and establish the kingdom of theirs in the promised land that God had already given them. But they got to do it. The weapon. There's this old story about this guy who says, looking for Carnegie Hall, and he comes up to this one guy and says, you know how to get to Carnegie Hall? He says, yeah. Well, how? Practice, man, practice. One of the things you have to do with your weapon is you have to practice with your weapon. Now, we know that God's word is the weapon. Now, you got to hear God's voice. You got to begin to recognize it in terms of yourself. You know, you may have a piano in your house, but if you don't know how to play it, it just sits there, doesn't it? Hey, I got a piano. You may have a Bible. It may sit on your coffee table, and it may have dust on it and everything else, and it's your weapon, but you don't know how to use it. And I can do some of it for you. In terms of you showing up, and we'll go through some of this stuff, but the other side of that animal is you've got to get it out, and you've got to practice, man, practice. Three words I want to give you, and I've done this before, but they are the words that everybody needs to learn. Knowledge. Understanding and wisdom. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Now, these have to do with the Word of God for you. In Hosea chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." If you are on a cruise ship and you fall over and you end up in the water, if you don't know how to swim, you don't have the knowledge of it, you're dead. And the truth is, if you have no knowledge of what God is saying in this world, you're dead. You're dead in your sins, but I tell you what, this world can just crush you. Knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge. The fear of the Lord in Proverbs is the beginning of understanding and wisdom. Look them up. They're in there. The fear of the Lord. I've drawn my sword now and I'm using it without having to look at it. If you understand that. Understanding. You may have knowledge of something, but you may not have any understanding of how things work. Understanding is you begin to put things together and see how things, the patterns in terms of what makes things work and stuff like that. You may have knowledge of the game of football, but until you actually study it for a little while, you don't have any understanding of it. You just have knowledge of it and you can watch it. But understanding comes with experience and getting your handle in there. One of the things that has to do with the Word of God is understanding it. It says, you know, when it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, that applies to me. That's reading the Bible and understanding that we're not talking about in general, we're talking about me. The beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A healthy respect for who you're dealing with. And He's dealing with you in your life as well as mine. The beginning of wisdom is that healthy respect for who you're dealing with. The beginning of understanding is the same thing. Now, insight into the game of football, let's say, is, you know, you begin to understand some of the plays and some of the defensive stuff, and you kind of pick it up. And if you're playing the game, then you know you begin to understand what part you play in that, and understanding. Wisdom is living it. When God says, love me with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, wisdom is beginning to understand and beginning to live that out in terms of how do you love God. With your heart, that's your soul. That's the essence of who you are. With your mind, that means you got to pay attention to His Word. You got to feed on the Word. You got to fashion your own weapon. Strength, that is, you have to be His agent in the world. Prepare yourself because you're going to battle. That has to do with where we begin to get the Word into us. And we begin to fashion our own personal weapon because battles come. Battles come. And the battlefield is this world right here, and it's over people. And battle is war. And in real war, you know people can get killed. You know why in the army, they make you take your rifle and tear it down and put it back together and tear it down and put it back together and tear it down, put it back together. They want you to understand your weapon and how it works. Because if you're out on the battlefield and that thing freezes up on you or does something, you need to be able to tear it down. You can't take it to the camp and say, Sarge, I can't get this thing to work. You have to be able to tear it down and find out what's wrong with it so that you can get it back and get your weapon fixed. That's why they do that. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to tear down the weapon every so often, put it back together, and we do it individually. Now, if you just let that weapon of yours sit on the coffee table all the time and you just come and you listen to me and you don't exercise any kind of you working on it, well, that's when you come, Jack, I can't get the weapon to work. Well, okay, you didn't break it down. You don't learn how to use it in terms of get different kinds of settings. You don't understand how to use it if it gets wet or whatever. You know, it's those kinds of things. Now, battles come. Everybody here, you're going to be in them one way or the other. And the thing I know about battles and war, you don't do it when you feel like it. You do it when it comes against you. You do it when you have to intercede for somebody. You don't do it just because you feel good about it. I have been sometimes very tired, not wanting to get involved, and I have had to enter into issues. Sometimes it's personal, sometimes it's people like you, sometimes it has to do with things in life, you know, and you fight when you have to fight. You know? So it's not a matter of feelings. It's a matter of being prepared for whenever it comes your way in terms of that. Now, if you look at Ephesians chapter 6, I'm not going to do the whole thing because I did a whole year on spiritual warfare. You can get it from the church here if you want it. But Ephesians chapter 6, which is a very familiar passage and everybody likes to quote it, comes about the whole armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we are not contending against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the equipment of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you can quench all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. It's your weapon. Now, when you read that, very quickly, the helmet of salvation. This is what I know, that Jesus is my Savior. He's the one that gives me salvation. He's the one that forgives my sin. And I know it up here. And that's the helmet. People can tell you anything. This world can tell you anything. But if I know that in my knower, you cannot mess with me in terms of that part of it. The shield of faith. You got to have faith because there's doubts that come at you all the time from all kinds of different directions. I know that. I'm just like you. I have the same kinds of things. You got to have that shield because the doubts will kill you. You can't do that. Oh, I don't. The people will throw that stuff at you whether they mean it or not. The shield is for that. That's to cover you in terms of fear. Helmets for doubts. And confusion can come your way. The breastplate of righteousness. You know, one of the things that has to do with your rightness. I know that my righteousness is not because I'm such a good guy. And I've been perfect all my life, and I never sinned. I am made righteous because Jesus died on the cross, and he took away my sins, and that righteousness has been put into me. And you wear it over your heart. It's not because I'm a great guy that Jesus died. It's because he came to make us right. Corrected the wrong. And the girdle of truth. One of the things about the belt or the truth is you need to know the truth because that keeps you from getting bound up in things. It'll set you free. Now, it's not your truth, because we all got one. It's not your truth. It is God's truth about people, about you, about who Jesus is, and all that. And that truth can keep you supported in the middle around there. And the shoes of the gospel of peace. The shoes are basically like grace. Wherever you go, if you are Jesus' man or woman in this world, wherever you put your feet, you carry the gospel of peace. And let me tell you about the gospel of peace. It's not peace nicks. You coming into a situation girded with all this armor and everything else, and you walk into it, you bring peace. And that peace is God's order in life situations. You know what makes for peace? Blessings and order. If you are not at peace, chances are you're not living in God's order of things. And those blessings don't flow as well because you're not there. But if you are God's man and you walk into a situation, I don't care where it is, you bring God's gospel, which is Jesus. Now that all that's armor and everything. And then you have the weapon, which is the sword of the Word of God. That's your weapon. Now, I want to tell you something about this, because when he says prepare your provisions and he gets all that stuff, remember how you get into Carnegie Hall? Practice, man, practice. Because we have to practice. It still requires a warrior trained to not only survive but to win. You know that if you walk in with the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, and the shoes and all that, do you know you walk into a situation and you don't have the Word of God? You're nothing but a target. You can stand there and they can beat you to a pulp. You can be killed. And the other thing is, if you don't know how to use the weapon, you're going to end up a target once again. Because you're going to be a target anyway. But you're going to be a target that, like, you go to a gallery and you shoot at it. So you need to understand that when they're talking about this in terms of life, prepare your provisions. That has to do with the Word of God as food, a spiritual diet. It has to do with the Word of God as a weapon. Because you do that. You know, one of the... you really have good elders and deacons in this church. Leaders in this church. And you know why? I've made a lot of them practice. You know why you have good speakers in the summer when I'm gone? I made them practice at a great banquet. Most of them several times. You have to learn how to do things. It practice, man. If you've ever served on a great banquet team, you know what you're doing. You're really doing is you're practicing. Preparing you for those places in life where you need to do. You know, and I don't know what else to call it. It actually is battle when you're in it, but it is a controlled battlefield. Out there, it's not controlled. It's not on a field of battle like a football field then. It's out there in the world. And practice is what it requires the warrior to be trained in order to do the things that are needed in terms of advancing and establishing the kingdom of God and not just surviving. Even though Paul talks about standing. You know, I don't know how many of you, I looked it up today, I couldn't find it. It couldn't get a good cut. But in the movie Patton, where George C. Scott stands up at the very beginning, if you ever get a chance, it's worth listening to. He does such a wonderful job of it. But he said, one place in that speech, he says, I'm not here to die for my country. I'm here to make the enemy die for his country. And that's really where we are. It's not you have to die for the kingdom of heaven. We want to bring the kingdom of heaven into other people's lives. And so you have to prepare yourself. Get ready. Because sometimes it comes your way, and it doesn't matter whether you're ready or not. It's just your turn. You better be ready. And that's what we deal with, principalities and powers all the time. Now, guns and butter. The Word of God is the weapon. The Word of God is the food. Prepare your provisions. The prophecy. And I'll go back in there and I'll just read you the prophecy, because this is what, sometimes we have to do this. Prepare your provisions, for within 3 days you are to pass over this Jordan. The prophecy is this. That has to do with the direction that the army is going. Within 3 days we're going to do it. Those words are the embodiment of the direction. You can sit by that river forever. He didn't say, prepare yourself, for one of these days we're going to cross that river. He said, we're doing it, and it's going to happen within this time frame, and that's the direction we're going, so you better be ready. You know, if he says, well, one of these days, it doesn't mean anything. These people have been in the wilderness for 40 years. And here Joshua, the new leader, says, 3 days from now, we're crossing this thing. Now, you got to think about this. Take it out of the Bible and kind of put it in our kind of context. That's, you know, what happens if nothing happens? What happens if nothing happens? The Jordan River at this time of the year is a raging river. What happens if it doesn't pile up? Just put yourself in a leadership role here as Joshua. What happens if I say 3 days from now we're going across this river and nothing happens? God doesn't help at all. He hadn't read the book. He's only talked to God, and you know, and you do that in your tent, and you walk out of your tent and say, did he really say that to me? You ever done that? I've done it, I don't know how many times. Oh my. Did I really hear this or not? What if it doesn't happen? What's that say about Joshua's leadership? That would say, whoa, I'm not sure we ought to follow this guy. Now, the Jordan River, most of the time, it's kind of like a drainage ditch. I mean, you can almost jump across it. But at this time of the year, during this time, it is a raging river. And it would be easier for them to wait 6 months when it's nothing. But he says, prepare your food and your weapons now. What happens if it doesn't happen? Well, his leadership gets probably kicked out the door. The other side of this, though, is what happens if they don't prepare? If they're not ready to go, then the miracle passes. They don't accomplish what God wants them to do and has given to them. Now, you have to translate this into our own lives, because you know that God may be telling you something about your life or something. And what happens if that's what you heard in the tent, but it doesn't happen? So you have to walk in faith in this stuff. These people are walking in faith. Joshua is walking in faith. Now, he's seen things, but I'm telling you, do not think that they are any different than us. The other thing is, if the people don't get ready, if you don't prepare for whatever it is that God is saying to you in terms of your life or wherever you're going, if you don't take the time to do the preparation, you're not going to have the resources to do it or accomplish it. And that's important for us to also understand about this. You know, we talk about our spiritual diet, and boy, you know, I could preach until I'm blue in my face, and some of you pay attention, some of you don't, some of you apply it, and some of you don't. But I know this has to do with your own personal study. It has to do with your own personal prayer life. It has to do with your worship. And worship is more than just Sunday morning. Worship has to do with your relationship of love towards God. But worship on Sunday morning is also important because, don't forget, as the Bible says, to assemble with others. Because what we do when we come to church is we witness to one another. And if you don't show up, then your witness is maybe got some doubts to it. And if so-and-so doesn't show up, what does that do in terms of the body of Christ? So worship is important, both your personal stuff, but also in the context of the people. So we come here to worship God on Sunday morning, or wherever you go, or don't go, and we witness to one another. That's why Paul wrote, he said, don't forget to do this, because you need to do this with one another, because you know we fortify each other. And so we do it. And worship's important. That's part of our preparation for our life during the week and everything else. You know I got a job to do. My job is to come in and give you something that you can take with you when you leave on Sunday or leave tonight, which is, you know, I got something from that, and you know you can begin to apply it. What happens to us? We don't advance and establish the kingdom of God if we don't pay attention and prepare ourselves in terms of our food, spiritual food, and in terms of our weaponry and how we attack this world around us to advance and establish the kingdom of God in the world. We get set up for failure then. Now, the direction is, sometimes God will say to you, you know, you need to move. And you need to do this in a week. Or you need to do this by next month. And God tells you that. And if you don't, you pass that time frame, it's going. That's prophecy to you. He doesn't come up and say, you know, you need to be a better person. And sometime down there in the road, we're going to get you into something else. That's the direction that is given here. Now, the last thing has to do with leadership and authority. And that has to do with submitting to the future. These people were submitting to the future. And I've got 2 minutes that I'm going to leave you with a couple of scriptures to ponder for next week. Isaiah 42:9. Once again, this comes right out of the weaponry. And you can apply it where it needs to be applied. 42:9. Anybody here? When you were growing up in church, maybe, did sword drills? You know what those are? You whip out the Bible and you find the first one to find the scripture. It's a sword drill. Isaiah 42:9, some of you beat me. Behold, the former things have come to pass. New things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. That is a forward-looking prophetic verse. Behold, the former things have come to pass. That is, what I laid out before has already taken place. New things I now declare. There's going to be some changes made, and you need to be aware of it. Before they spring forth, I'm going to tell you about them. In other words, if there's changes coming, God will say, I want you to know this before it happens. And the other one is Isaiah 43, 19 to 21. And you just have to turn the page for me. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Even now it springs forth. Somebody in this room needs to hear that scripture tonight. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Even now it springs forth. If you actually back up one verse from that, which is 19, what does it say? It says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And when God says that to you, that's when you say, you know what happened back there has no hold on me. And I need to turn my face to the future. We're going to leave it this because these people are beginning to move towards their future. One other thing they need to do, and they have to submit to that future. And we will talk about that next week. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that in the midst of all this talking that I do, I pray that you would make sure that your message goes forth for each one of us. Because we all have our lives that we're living. So I pray that one, whatever it is that each of us is to hear tonight, we would hear it. In Jesus' name, amen.